You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Oakland Athletics. I'm Richard Justice of MLB.com, and I'm joined by Jane Lee, who covers the A's, who's on that wild roller coaster known as the A's. I wanted to ask you first, where were you and what were you doing when you heard the news? No, I'm just kidding. Let me ask you this. Strip everything away, and from the end of the season to now, do you think the A's are better, or do you think that the loss of Josh Donaldson, their best player, is so overwhelming to the organizational depth they acquired that this is a worse team today?
Oh, it's by far a worse team. You can't just subtract a Josh Donaldson and expect to have, you know, even close to the same team that you had before. I mean, you know, it's one thing to say, well, this was, you know, the team's best player. But, I mean, just from a league standpoint, you know, whether you're into all the new sabermetrics or whatnot, I mean, this guy ranked up there in pretty much all offensive categories this year. Last year, only Mike Trout had a higher WAR in both seasons. And, you know, even though he was kind of under the radar playing in Oakland, being this kind of former, you know, minor league catching prospect and out of the blue became this incredible defensive third baseman who also just happens to hit, you know, 29 home runs. He didn't get that attention until, you know, he was selected to the All-Star game and then they made the playoff push and they were in the playoffs. So, you know, you think of a Josh Donaldson and at first, you know, say a year or two ago, we wouldn't have really been making that big of a deal about it. And now we're talking about one of the best players in the game. And a lot of people, including some players, are saying that this loss is greater than the loss of Cespedes. And you know how shocked we were when Cespedes got traded and how big of a burn it was to their lineup. Well, you take out one right-handed power bat, then you just took out, you know, arguably an even bigger power bat, and your lineup's just, I mean, it's depleted so much, and you're kind of shaking your head because you're going, wait, they just signed Billy Butler, they just bolstered their lineup, and then they took away Josh Donaldson, and now, you know, we're back. I mean, you got to think years to where this lineup has looked this depleted as it stands right now. Obviously, a lot can happen.
Yeah, and we should point out that if every MVP ballot the last 2 years, Josh Donaldson should have been on the first, second, or third ballots. And for people like you who saw him every day, saw him not just as a good defensive third baseman, he was a spectacular defensive third baseman. And like you said, a minor league catcher that the, in a lot of ways, he's the best of Billy Beane. They took a guy that a lot of people didn't know. They knew he had a competitive fire. They knew he was a great athlete, and turned him into the most important player on that team. It's just incredible. And for Brett Lowry, a guy who hasn't been able to stay healthy in a couple of arms, Jane, do you think how Billy put the pieces together in his mind to make this trade? What sold it for him? Was it just as simple as getting a couple of arms and a young shortstop for the organization?
No, I mean, these talks with the Blue Jays go back, I think, to August or September. The Blue Jays had inquired on Donaldson, and Billy said no, no, no. You know, they circled back around, I believe, the GM meetings, and still Billy was saying no. You know, he's not available, we're not trading him. And that's why most clubs believe Josh Donaldson to not be available. And that's why everyone was saying, you know, well, he's the untouchable. But as we know, nobody's really untouchable under Billy Beane. And the Jays came back. And I think what really kind of, you know, got the talks going a little more rapidly was when the Jays decided, you know what, we'll give you Brett Lowry, a guy who no one thought the Jays would trade, and suddenly the A's have an immediate replacement at third base. So, yes, they lose their best player, but they have a replacement at his position, and it's a guy who has a ton of upside. I mean, he's been hurt early in his career, but he's still just 24. He's thought to be, you know, capable of being just as good a defender as Donaldson. You know, he's got some pop and is really thought to only get better. And you have to think that with injuries, some of them had to do with playing on the turf in Toronto. You know, that really affects guys. And you bring the guy to Oakland and you have to wonder, well, you know, maybe this could be the turning point for him. And so once he was in the conversation, I do think one of those pitchers that they got, Sean Nolan, they had been eyeing him for a while. I think he was always going to be in a deal no matter what. So he's a guy they really think highly of. The other one, Graveman, is going to get every shot to be in the starting rotation. So, you know, they're always looking to acquire pitching depth. It's something you think, you know, well, the A's automatically have. They have a ton of pitching depth. And while they do at the major league level right now, they're really lacking in their minor league system. And so while both of these guys they got could be, you know, on the opening day roster, if they're not, they give them that depth. And then, of course, I think they're just trying to stockpile as many shortstops as they can while they're trying to look for one for next year. But he really is, I mean, he could be, it's hard to say that that was the guy, you know, the centerpiece of the deal for the A's when he's still just 18. I mean, so much can happen. But if he turns out to be who everyone thinks he will, and that's this dynamic shortstop, then you have to think, okay, you know, they did pretty well in that deal. And we also have to remember, you know, it was a, you know, one player for four players, but the A's could, you know, with the money they're saving with Josh Donaldson, I mean, this was his first year of arbitration eligibility. He's a Super 2 player, so he's got that extra year of eligibility. And by the end of it, by the time he becomes a free agent, he's going to be making already, you know, close to $15 million. And you add it up over the next 4 years, that's about probably $40 million the A's are going to save. And, you know, a chunk of that's obviously going to go to Lowry, but some of it can be allocated to other players. So you have to kind of wait and see who else over these next couple of years, you know, they're able to bring in.
Let me piece it together for 2015. Are Parker and Griffin, two of the injured starters from last year, are they projected to be ready to go on opening day, or is it going to be a while?
No, they won't be ready opening day, but they're projected to be ready somewhere around June, July. Parker's a little ahead of schedule, but then again, this is his second Tommy John surgery, so in the end, they might be, you know, around the same timetable. You know, best case scenario is June, which, you know,
which
June
probably
July
means July,
Because if they hang on, you know, to a Samardzija, which at this point seems unlikely, but if, you know, they hang on to him, or even if they have Scott Kazmir at that point, they fill out their rotation, they have these two guys coming back in June or July, they're in a position to deal with the trade deadline. You know, a guy like Scott Kazmir or a Jeff Samardzija, if they have him right then, I mean, their value at that point will be huge. So to have Parker and Griffin healthy, you know, around midseason would really be a boost, not only for the obvious reasons, but for the other reasons I mentioned as well.
Okay, and just back to the roster again. As you look at DH, first base, left field, do you think Billy feels the need to move someone? Or do you think he just looks at, okay, look, Brandon Moss is my first baseman today. Vaught and Gentry, I guess that would be the left field platoon, something like that. Would that, and Butler is obviously the full-time DH. Do you think he feels the need to move anybody, or might it be as simple as non-tendering Ike Davis, something like that? What do you think he's thinking in those areas?
It's hard to ever know what he's thinking about anything ever, but I don't know that he's looking to, you know, actively move one of them. But, you know, if someone came to him and was looking for that left-handed bat, you know, they do have so many. They have Brandon Moss, they have Josh Reddick, they have John Jaso, and all of these guys are kind of expendable. I mean, as productive as they've been for the A's, they have so much depth, you know, in the corner outfield, at first base, DH. They really don't feel comfortable having Jaso catch again just because of the numerous concussions he's had. So I feel like, you know, he's a guy that could be on the move just because, you know, they just don't have that need for him next year on their roster. And then Moss, it's an interesting case because he's done so much for them, but, you know, they could shed some payroll with him too. He's expected to make around $7 million in arbitration this year and move him and, you know, take a risk on Ike Davis because they do have depth at that position. They still have Nate Freiman who can play it. They have Billy Butler on hand to, you know, start against lefties. So they have options. And, you know, I think they're keeping every option open and they know that they have all these different pieces and some of them could be moved. And if not, you know, they're really good at piecing them together when the time comes.
And they still have, and Billy still has not acquired a shortstop. This kid, Daniel Robertson, 20 years old, he is not ready. That would be, you think that would be Billy's assessment, right? He is just not ready yet.
Yeah, it's not even in question right now. I mean, you know, we'll get a better look at him in camp. I'm sure he'll be in big league camp next year for that reason. But, I mean, Billy said it right when he was asked at the end of the season. I mean, this kid's, they're not even looking at him as an option
right.
until 2016. And, I mean, who knows? He might, you know, blow up AA and get promoted quickly to AAA, and we see him by the end of the year. But they can't count on him come opening day.
And Jane, if Samardzija is traded, Billy would be looking for, I guess, more organizational depth, just players. I mean, he just, the way he looks at it, I guess he looks at players. Can you, in your mind, see a way that they are competitive after trading their two best players?
In the division they're in, probably not. You know,
okay.
Maybe a few years ago, yes, but the AL West is just getting so much stronger by the day. And I mean, Anaheim, you know, is going to be good again. Seattle, everything they've done, and they're probably still not done. They're going to be right in the thick of things. In Texas, with all their, you know, injured players coming back, they're going to be right in it. So I do think the A's will remain competitive. They still have a ton of pitching. I mean, you forget that even if they trade Samardzija, they have Sonny Gray, they have Scott Kazmir, and they have Jared Parker and AJ Griffin coming back. I mean, any team would want those four guys in their rotation. And, you know, you look around the field, and it's a good group of guys, but taking a look at that lineup is a little scary without, you know, Josh Donaldson and Cespedes now. So their lineup's definitely lacking, though I don't think it's going to look this way on opening day. You know, even when talking about Samardzija and a potential deal and what they could get back for him, obviously they want some prospects, but you have to wonder if they're also thinking they could reel in, you know, a big-time big league player while they're at it. I mean, they've been in discussions with the White Sox. You have to be thinking that Alexi Ramirez's name has come up. And, you know, they were also linked to the Braves, and a few big names popped up from that. So I don't think that with Samardzija, they're just kind of looking to bring in, you know, a handful of young guys. I do think they want, you know, a big leaguer or two in return, which would obviously, you know, impact their roster.
It'll be fascinating to see how it works out. And we go to the winter meetings in San Diego next week. And all right, a busy start. Thank you, Jane. We'll talk soon.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, t-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.